This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. For most students, autumn is about buckling down to another year of studies. But fourth-year medical students have to think much further ahead. They have to make decisions about what kind of doctors they want to become. Today, more and more medical students are opting to become specialists, raising predictions of a shortage of primary care doctors. To find out why, NPR's Julie Rovner traveled to Mount Sinai Medical School in New York.
This has everything we need.
Thank you. Where do I get ice?
It's been a long day for Bill Stebbins. He's a fourth-year medical student who's just started a new hospital rotation in internal medicine. During a brief break, Stebbins chugs the last of his umpteenth can of soda, delivering another dose of caffeine to his flagging system.
And even though, you know, it has no calories, you know, you're feeling good about yourself, but 5 years down the road, you're probably going to die from whatever else is in here.
Stebbins' skin is about the same color as his green medical scrubs, thanks to a combination of lack of sleep and the overhead fluorescent hospital lights. He looks older than his 26 years, but even with his deadpan delivery, he betrays his amateur status as he prepares to draw an arterial blood gas on a patient.
Having blood drawn is not bad, but when you dig for the radial artery and you have a moving target who's screaming, you're dealing with a needle as a med student, you know, the pressure's on.
The pressure's on in another part of Stebbins' life, too. He has only a few weeks left to decide what kind of medical residency to apply for. In other words, how he wants to spend his medical career.
It's a really tough decision to make, and it's something that I think about every day, and it's causing me mind-blowing amounts of stress. Really. Like, I've never felt more stressed in my life.
It's a big decision, because switching specialties later is hard.
My opinion wavers a lot on a day-to-day basis. If I had to get my application in tomorrow, I would specialize in dermatology. I would say that a lot of my decision is based on trying to find a field where I can have enough time to spend with patients and also spending time with my family and raising a family.
And he wants time for two of his other passions, music and tennis. Bill Stebbins thinks dermatology's 9-to-5 schedule will offer him lifestyle heaven. Dr. Larry Smith says he's seeing more and more students like Bill Stebbins. Smith is dean of students at Mount Sinai on Manhattan's Upper East Side.
I was really unaware of the almost Machiavellian thinking, trying to scope out, you know, future incomes, future work hours, preservation of personal time. I realized that something had dramatically changed.
So Smith set out to find out what. He read a series of studies by sociologists done for industry about intergenerational tensions in the workplace, and he discovered that what makes this generation of young doctors different is that they have very different priorities than their baby boomer parents.
They are very much striving for balance. They saw the bad parts of open-ended commitment, which was what it did to their parents. I think the baby boomer generation had a lot of people who went for it 100% and became extraordinarily burnt out. Were never home. And if you just looked at, you know, the current 50-year-old physician, I mean, there's enormous discontent with their life.
Smith says as a result, students are avoiding time-intensive generalist careers like internal medicine or pediatrics. They're gravitating instead towards specialties like dermatology, radiology, and anesthesiology. Those offer more predictable working hours. But Smith says the unpopularity of primary care is about more than not wanting to be on call 24/7.
I think the issue is, are we training a generation of doctors who are afraid to become people's doctor, as opposed to the specialist for a disease they may have or a procedure they may need? For a large number of the young physicians, they're fearful of that commitment. And this is really in stark contrast, I think, to a generation before, where in fact the concept of being someone's doctor was absolutely at the core of why most people went to medical school.
Back at the hospital, Bill Stebbins' career conflict has intensified. He's just experienced, for the first time, the kind of excitement he's only ever seen on TV.
That was a pretty wild scene. It was my first time ever being part of a code.
A code meaning the patient's heart had stopped. Bill and the rest of the team went to work.
It was really exciting. You could feel your heart beating, sweaty, knowing that, you know, it's a timeline of minutes.
The patient survived and was sent to recover in the intensive care unit. Bill knows he'd never be part of saving a life that way in dermatology, and that's a hard thing to accept. On the other hand, he also knows that being a primary care physician has its own downside.
The joys of being an internist when you were the, you know, that person's one doctor are now gone because you are now the person standing in the way of them getting to the specialist. You know, when anything exciting comes up, your job is to send them to somebody else.
Bill says he's waiting for an epiphany, but first he must get to the patient who needs his arterial blood gas drawn.
Feeling good.
All right.
Mr. Dorothy?
To some extent, today's medical students' desire to have a life outside of medicine is medical school's own fault. Schools have recruited liberal arts majors like Bill Stebbins. The thinking was that a student with many interests makes a better doctor. Suzanne Rose is Mount Sinai's associate dean.
We have world-class musicians. We've had world-class athletes, somebody who went to the Olympics a few years ago. And some of them are reluctant to give up some of their passions and talents that they had prior to coming here.
Baby Boomer Rose is a gastroenterologist by training, one of the first women to pursue that demanding specialty. And she says she went after it with everything she had, sacrificing her other priorities.
I have missed many events in my kids' lives. I missed my son's first haircut, which is on video. He's now 19 years old and is doing well. And sometimes he jokes with me that I wasn't really his mother. It was some other nanny that took care of him.
Rose says she's exactly the role model many of today's students don't want. But she's also afraid the balance may be shifting too far in the other direction, that today's students aren't willing to push themselves enough. She recalls one very bright student last year who was looking at some of the easiest programs available.
And I said to him, why don't you go to the most academic program you can go to? And he said, I don't want to work that hard. And to me, that was shocking. And I said, what do you mean by that? Don't you want to be the best doctor you can be? He goes, I'll be great, but I don't need to do that. I don't need to work as hard as you worked.
Dean Larry Smith says he doesn't buy into the notion that this generation of medical students are slackers. And while lifestyle seems paramount in these students' choice of career, money isn't far behind. Specialists have long earned more than primary care doctors, and that little black bag medical students get when they graduate now comes with a big IOU inside.
Well, Mount Sinai's tuition is about $32,000 a year. Our average graduating debt last year was around $90,000 per student. That's an enormous burden.
All right, here's my apartment.
Meanwhile, back in his apartment after his night at the hospital, Bill Stebbins drinks yet another caffeinated diet drink and ponders his plans.
You don't have enough time in your 4 years of medical school to see any subspecialty enough to make a life decision based on it. That's like saying, oh, I dated somebody for 3 weeks. I want to get married. I hope I like them.
But Stebbins' choice will affect more than just his own career. With 78 million aging baby boomers, the nation is facing a looming shortage of primary care doctors. Still, if Stebbins does join the ranks of specialists, he'll be joining most of his classmates. As recently as 1997, well over half of Mount Sinai's graduating class went into primary care. Today, it's down to 40%. Julie Rovner, NPR News.